Look at us, so professional.
Yeah, welcome back, guys. Yeah.
Welcome back.
Oh, cool.
Where are we going? What do we do?
I forgot how we do this.
Yeah,
I'll do the intro.
In the new office, aren't we now, finally? Still not quite cosmetically finished, is it? We've still got quite a few cosmetic bits to sort.
It looks nice. Yeah.
But it'll start to
glass.
Yeah. Glass everywhere.
There's a glass everywhere.
To walk into.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're slowly getting there. I've just realised all that rubbish out there as well. Should have probably cleared that, shouldn't we?
Yeah. It's all right. This is the real us, the authentic.
No one stops listening to a podcast because of rubbish.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Let's find out. We'll do a poll after this.
Cool. So, topics today. We've got Danny is talking about Hoffline, our big reveal this week. Probably should have saved that one till last, shouldn't I? Oh, well.
We don't have to go in the order.
I know, but just in terms of revealing it, I probably should have, you know.
Get it out of your life. The tease is over.
Yeah. Dave, you're talking about the Miami highlights and lowlights.
Yeah.
Didn't know you were there.
A bit late, but... Well, we haven't done a podcast since.
Yeah, that's true.
But
that's true.
Yeah, I think I watched most of it. I hope you guys did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Some of it.
It was quite well streamed, wasn't it?
I mostly watched it.
It was very accessible.
Yeah. I'm talking about the FCA research about the number of UK adults in with Bitcoin and crypto assets. Interesting, that came out yesterday or the day before. And Zach, you're talking about Taproot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
What?
I mean,
what's your issue? Well,
this is supposed to be an exciting podcast.
Wow. Right, go on then, Dave. You kick it off.
Wow. Well, I kick it out.
Yeah.
Right.
To be fair, actually, this is probably Dave's most exciting topic he's ever chosen.
That's why I've called him out.
Well, how can this be more exciting than Argentina?
Instantly called him out for having a poor subject. So I'll kick it off then. Miami.
Whoop, whoop.
A couple of weeks ago, everyone seemed to be there. Everyone that saw the socials. I was a bit apprehensive. I thought it'd be a bit of a shit show, if I'm honest. And it looked all right, actually. So I was wondering... I went through, had a little look, saw plenty of clips and videos, a couple of the highlights. Mayor of Miami, Francis Suarez.
Mm. He's a cool guy, isn't he?
His opening statement. Did you hear what he said today about the nuclear power?
No.
So he's going to get mining powered by nuclear power in Miami.
Yeah.
Which is clever. We haven't got volcano mining on this, have we?
That can be covered now.
That's probably some of the biggest news we've had in years, and we've all neglected. And you've picked Taproot. Well, the technical analysis of Taproot integration. The consensus bit was quite interesting, I'll give you that.
It's good.
So anyway, he opened the conference, didn't he, in his hometown. They said, this is not a moment, it's a movement.
Mm. Wow.
Beautiful. I thought you'd appreciate that.
Did well. Yeah. The nuclear power as well, that is, for me, because I know... documentary with Bill Gates. I know a lot of people in our space seem to dislike Bill Gates, but is it Inside Bill's Brain on Netflix?
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And he touches on nuclear power, I think, in that, because it explains...
Because micro-nuclear power plants are actually quite a good way to make it accessible in areas where power isn't accessible, where you need massive grid structures, and so you can put them on the back of a truck, nuclear power. And
it's surprisingly... It's meant to be safe. It kills less people than... Even though the problem with it is than coal does and things, because that pollutes and that causes long-term deaths, whereas the nuclear power, when there's deaths, it's big impact ones where something blows up and kills a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And that's the danger of it and the hassle. So that's why it's kind of people steer clear of it for the most part. But actually, it causes less deaths than other.
There is still a pollutant problem with it. You still create a lot of waste energy.
They have to be stored afterwards.
For literally 20 not just years, centuries, but thousands of years for some of the half lives of some of them.
I thought it was concreted up and it was 20 years, I thought.
Carbon 14, though, can penetrate an awful lot of things as the waste products of nuclear.
But the good thing with the Bitcoin mining side of things, you can put that nuclear power plant in the middle of nowhere and just have a mining plant there, no people around it. So you can
mitigate Chernobyl, right?
Mitigate issues.
Was that not still a thing?
Right.
Chernobyl, is that not
that
a
was
nuclear?
It exploded.
Yeah, is that not still?
Still
a
an
thing?
Issue. Yeah.
You can
not just whack a load of mining machines up there.
Well, you could just go to middle of nowhere, couldn't you? It doesn't really.
Yeah, this one already exists, doesn't it?
Well, no, but there's still toxic radiation there.
Yeah.
People don't have to work there.
You go there, Molly. Let's know how.
Do you know what? Genuinely, I watched the documentary. I really want to go. It looks nice.
It does look interesting. Yeah. It's interesting history.
So a couple of more highlights from Miami. We saw Jack Dorsey. And he said if he wasn't working at Square and Twitter, he would dedicate his time to Bitcoin, mm-hmm. which is quite...
I didn't watch that.
Didn't watch that, no. He was quite interesting on it. Yeah. Yeah, said it all.
Why doesn't he do that, then?
Because he's busy. CEO of some major companies.
I think he does priorities. More... I actually think he does though, more for Bitcoin... He'll do more for Bitcoin staying at them two companies than he can do if he left them, I think.
Are you trying to say Jack Dorsey stay away from Bitcoin?
Yes. Yeah. Have you seen his code? No, I'm kidding. I mean, from a...
The guy can't code anymore. Yeah.
From an angle of he has a reach with Twitter and Square to be able to drive them two companies in a Bitcoin direction, and they'll support Bitcoin in a more positive manner than if he just left them, and they could then go... against Bitcoin and drop Bitcoin.
Stuff, he could do more from those two vantage points.
Mm. He has a more powerful position at the minute to do that.
You also saw a couple of, quite a few politicians. Now, they always have an agenda, a politician, don't they? So they were pushing anti-Fed and more libertarian freedoms at this conference, you know, probably to glean more votes and to get back in the public eye. So I tended not to focus too much on what those guys were saying. Max Kaiser was there.
Legend.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, that was a that was a low light for me. Part of it's a bit cringy. All that Elon, and I was just like, come on.
He's going on his F Elon tour then.
I also don't like Mike. Max Kaiser has annoyed me for the amount of renders he steals from me.
Yes, he has. Yeah. He's stolen about three of them.
Max, need to credit Dave.
Yeah, but I just don't... all that, I can do without that sort of rhetoric at a conference.
He's like that, though. That's him as a person.
Yeah, but he shared a stage with a sailor, didn't he? So I was like, a sailor could probably manage the limelight on his own without...
Without needing to that.
Yeah, without needing that.
Some people, it's that charisma, isn't it? And the people do have... Or you kind of sometimes... the different levels, shall we say, of charisma, and you have that one where they'll come in and they'll be extravagant like Max Kaiser was, whereas Michael Saylor is more laid back, but he still controls the stage.
Yeah, it's a difficult one for me. For me, you have to have backing to it. Charisma on its own, like confidence, the term con man derives from that, and you see charisma without any backing. Great, he's got a really popular podcast, but I'm starting to think these people are just on this train, on this bandwagon, without really contributing to the space as much as you might want. But I don't know.
Yeah, well, Max Kaiser he's been in the industry a long time. Yeah. He came over here back in 2014 for the conference and that. Yeah. And when you talk to him in person, sit down, talk to him, he's actually not quite as extravagant.
Okay. Maybe it's just the way he came. Maybe I was just in an irritable mood and just saw that. I was just like, I need less energy on stage.
Him and Stacey were sat in Thirsty Pigeon on the tiny little stools they had, the little... low stools as well at the time.
What, over here, the pub across the road?
Yeah. And we were sat in them chatting away for a few hours and after the conference, but they are nice
okay,
people,
fine.
Not quite as crazy as you might come across.
I'll step back then with my Max Kaiser criticisms. We also saw a telephone interview with Ross Ulbricht.
Careful, Dave.
Oh, yeah. And now, it's another weird one for me. I feel like that's not something that I would want to associate Bitcoin too heavily with, essentially a drug dealing criminal. And I appreciate it's part of the past, but the founder of Silk Road and this Free Ross movement, it's not something that I'm particularly a fan of. You don't Barclays are founded on slavery. You don't see them putting it out on their PR. That's how I view it. And I know people of it's probably quite a dividing point of view because it did bring Bitcoin to the
it's part of its
recognition
history
of a lot of people,
and we can't hide from it. I think is part of
have to the way
you, you don't you, can, you don't have to hide from it, but you don't have to keep bringing it out.
No, I mean, I'm not on the whole. I don't want to get in too much into the Ross Ulbricht side of things, really, but. I think
Danny's well and truly on that fence.
The
boy's back on the fence.
It's the problem is, like, yes, he did illegal things. Yes, he shouldn't have done them things. I know there's all the arguments around things like, you know, he's probably saved more lives than otherwise due to doing everything online. But it's the violence and the crime on the streets that was taken off the streets because of how much he sold online. And there is a good argument. There's a good case study for that. And it makes some sense. I appreciate that side of the argument as well. But he did do wrong, and he deserves to be in prison, but not for the timescales they set for him. Mm. I think that them timescales, was it three life sentences? It's just ridiculous for what that was. I think.
But we might have to agree to disagree on.
I think
on
it just highlights more the American justice system's failings.
Yeah.
I know you disagree with that as well.
It's not right that at all. There's people that kill people.
First offender, non-violent crime, two life sentences.
It's not right. People have killed people and got less.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on, because I feel like we could go for a whole Russell Rigg podcast here and just argue. So I'll leave it there.
But well, how about,
well, you are both wrong.
No. I want to know your thoughts on Floyd Mayweather's talk at the conference.
You know what? You know what?
Barely a talk, to be honest.
Because I looked at the list of what was going on, and I purposely avoided stuff that was just going to be self-promo.
Yeah,
it's just like, come on. I didn't need that. But there was one standout highlight for me, and that's Jack Mallers. Is it Mallers? I think it's Mallers, isn't it? How do you pronounce that?
Yeah,
name?
No, I think we always
Mallers,
end up pronouncing
Mallers.
Yeah, Mallers.
From Yorkshire, so
we
say it wrong anyway.
I saw someone tweet about his mum pronounced it completely differently the other day, and no one saw that. No one even, I can't remember what it was.
I think his mum can't. what do I ask?
I think it's because we've got this world we live in with Bitcoin now, because it's so global and so many different cultures, people. Like pronounce things differently because of their accents, not because of
exactly,
it's wrong or right.
Yeah.
It's like potato, potato. And
let's call him the founder of Strike.
Yeah.
The passion that he showed for his speech when announcing the El Salvador peace was something that, honestly, it was quite moving almost. There was so much passion in there, so much drive from a guy who's basically, he's almost not put his company first, the ambitions of a company, he's put the very principles, the core of how Bitcoin can help people at the forefront of what he was doing, rather than his profit margin for a company that he's founded and obviously grown with for however he's been building that for ages. So it's absolutely very commendable that he's put the space first rather than his company. He even said, I think he was talking about that, and he said that can come later. And he's also got one of the greatest taglines ever for a Bitcoin movement, isn't it? What is it? I will die on this hill.
I'll die on this hill.
I don't know what that means, but, but how emotive is that?
It came about. It was from Twitter. Was it last year or something? Someone said it, and it had a little bit of a run, and then I think he's.
But it
he's
encompasses
stuck with
everything
it.
That we probably feel about what we're striving towards as Coin Corner itself. You just take your hat off to the guy, because that was. I would recommend watching that to
not
anyone.
Even that as. He's American, isn't he? So he went against his country, kind of, as well.
Against the grain.
The US, and Biden's having his issues with El Salvador at the moment, and it was very, like, say.
Helping these little case studies, these guys have never been able to get bank accounts. The remittance cost to send the expats sending money back home, and he's their plight, just highlighted all that and how Bitcoin can fix that problem, and he's putting it into action.
And it is fixing that problem.
Yeah, and it's a lesson to everyone out there that work in this space. Actually, we're saying it will fix that problem. Let's go out and prove it. Let's do what he's done. So
yeah,
I'd love great to watch. I'd recommend it.
I'd love to follow. I think that's something. I guess sometimes we're not in the position to be able to do these things and go out there and do that. And that's maybe something that eventually we can follow suit with and go and. Contribute in some way, whether it's another country around the world we can help on board and get in place, or whether it's the products that we can provide to allow other people to go off and do that. I don't know.
Try and master the Isle of Man first.
We're working on the Isle of Man. We are working on the Isle of Man. They're not quite the same position as El Salvador, because, you know, 70% unbanked in El Salvador, is it? We've got probably 0% unbanked. That want a bank account, should we say. So it's easy to get a bank account here compared to other places, so we're not in the same position as that. There is a similar position, I guess, because we have the Manx pound, but it's just a one-to-one peg of the British pound, so it's kind of dictated from there, really. So, you know, there is an argument to say, and, you know, actually the Isle of Man making Bitcoin legal tender and taking over the Manx pound would probably cause riots over here in this quiet small island as well, because they just wouldn't like that. It's finding that use case for the Isle of Man, because the Isle of Man is just a completely different country to El Salvador and has different problems. So it's trying to find how does Bitcoin solve some of them problems, and that's what I'm trying to work on with them at the minute, to figure out how we can solve problems for them, or what problems they have. So step at a time and see where we go from there.
Wow, that speech was nearly as empowering as Jack's.
Yeah.
We just needed Danny to start crying. Yeah. Jack's speech, if you watch it, all the way through it, he's crying. Yeah. I mean, I could have done without that, to be honest.
Did you not cry?
As well.
You not shed a tear?
No.
Oh.
I don't think I've got a tear duct, Molly, if I'm honest.
I don't think you've got any emotions, Dave.
Yeah, like a robot.
To be fair, if I was on stage doing that speech, I would have been crying my eyes out. So
you cry daily in the office, just giving speeches.
I cry all the time, so it's it'd be natural for me to cry.
Any other highlights, lowlights?
No, that was it.
That's it.
That was it.
Cool.
I think they're doing another conference pretty much straight away next year, aren't they? Q1 of next year.
Yeah, I saw the tickets location for sale already. Yeah, I can't commit without a location.
No.
Why not?
I've got a kid, Zach. I can't be that spontaneous anymore.
You don't need to go.
No.
There's just going to be loads of booths peddling your stuff.
I was disappointed at some of the, like, having Floyd Mayweather shitcoin and that kind of thing. That
Ethereum Max.
Yeah.
And then Kim Kardashian's been pushing that out on her socials as well.
So that put me off. Yeah. It's not a pure Bitcoin focused.
There was shitcoin 2021 down the road, wasn't there?
Yeah, they did that on purpose, didn't they, to try and piggyback it? But
it was called Shitcoin.
There was a mini event, Shitcoin 2021. Right. I don't know. I've not heard anything about it. I don't know how well attended it was.
I think it was kind of started as a joke, wasn't it? But then I think they pulled people in for it. but yeah, it was very well attended. There was meant to be like 50,000 turned up in Miami, wasn't it? Was it 20,000 or 12,000 at the conference? Mm. Maybe cycled around. I'm not too sure if they're different on different days. But yeah, just think the whole place in general would have been quite a buzz to it, I imagine. Yeah, maybe next year.
Maybe not as well.
Dave, how's that company expenses looking?
You'd have to pay for it yourself.
Cool. Zach, do you want to go next?
Oh, here we go.
Talk about Taproot.
I said I was going to talk about Taproot and then didn't really prepare anything.
Next topic, we'll just
go off the show. It's more just about the Taproot miner signalling. So we're officially now locked in for Taproot to activate in early November. Is that right, Danny? Correct?
Yeah, it should be early mid November, depends on block times.
Yeah.
Of course.
So this was using a new activation method which has been dubbed Speedy Trial, which is why it's happened quite quickly after we've started doing it. So it's considered a success on that point of view. And then it was just more of a putting out there for... So basically now everyone in the community has got till November to upgrade their nodes to the latest Bitcoin Core version or whatever software you're using, which will then support Taproot to upgrade your nodes. And then the success of the Speedy Trial has now also made other people within the industry think we can get more stuff live quite quickly because there's loads on the list that the community wants to get up. So it was a good test bed and it worked perfectly, and it's the first major upgrade in 4 years for Bitcoin, so that's why it's in the news all the time and everyone's quite excited.
I think it's quite a big thing. I know you guys have read the Block Size Wars book, haven't you, recently?
It's on my to-do list.
Really good book.
It's very good.
Yeah, I was reading it back and it's kind of reminiscent of what happened at the time, and it was quite good to listen to it back after being through it. Living through it, I think, was just an absolute blur, and then reading that book was kind of nice to hear other people's opinions on it and them going through the same pain that we went through. And I think that whole thing, reading that and then understanding Taproot getting activated so quickly, is such a big win that people don't quite understand.
Yeah, I mean, integrating anything via consensus is normally would take, well, we saw with SegWit, isn't it just took years.
Well, the last hang up on Taproot, the arguments have been around how we're going to activate it, not that everyone agrees it should be activated. The arguments have been how to activate it.
Right.
So there's been talk of this, what they call Speedy Trial, which we went for eventually, which not everyone was happy about, but it seemed consensus that was the move and seems to have paid off.
It's just brilliant that like a change like that can be made without a central body.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the glory in it, really.
But these are the things now that we need to iron out to something that SegWit has happened, and you know, we've seen that and we've experienced it, which is great. And then Taproot, this is a great scenario of upgrading. And the speed it's been done at, and then the next ones that come along now, we have these experience of how the community can react and do things.
Is there not an argument also that you think should take time? You don't want speed
changes. Of course.
They still will take time anyway. Because
it's just called speedy. What was it called?
Speedy trial.
Speedy trial.
So it was just giving the miners a shorter period to signal.
That was
so
still
we
a 3 month
decisions.
One. It's not, like quick.
Right. Okay.
And it's still activating it for the end of the year. So it's.
Yeah. It doesn't kick in. It's like, was it 9 months total from when? No, it wasn't 9 months. It must be. Was it 6 months? It must have been 6 months, three months to do it, and then after that it kicks in.
So the quality of changes that are going to be made or would be made would still be quite high, I'm presuming, that'd be my worry if you. So that's not going to happen, though, isn't it? It's not about quick changes.
No, all the code, the code done, is still reviewed, the same, and that's what's been happening over the years.
That still takes an awful long time.
Yeah, exactly.
My point, really. It should take that long. Yeah.
The code for Taproot was finished, was it, this time last year, about, maybe?
Well, I think it might have been merged.
Because I remember Peter Wheel or whoever that was, actually, when they merged it, and I remember that, I think it was about last summer sometime. So it's been there for ages, sat there, but then it's just been trying to figure out how you activate it and stuff. But in that meantime, it's getting tested, checked, and everything.
So we're still not done. You still need to make sure.
I've got to upgrade your nodes. I've got to update my Umbrel.
Your Umbrel node. Dead easy.
Give me a warning, will it?
Yeah, it pops up. I've already done my Umbrel one. It'll pop up just saying you update pending.
Nice.
Click the update button.
Job done.
It's getting easier, isn't it?
So is there a group of people that are against it? You know, like with the SegWit one,
No, not really. Not for Taproot itself. It was only for the activation method of, there was a couple of different groups or angles to go at, but I think everyone in general is happy with Taproot.
Yeah, Taproot's fairly non-controversial and just several upgrades and privacy improvements.
There's no soft forks or hard forks happening.
The SegWit one was all just due to the block size arguments, which is why that book covers it so well. That's pretty much
so now it's kind of left you with the Bitcoin core people, I would say, like a community of people that just want Bitcoin as it is to thrive, and the people that wanted those other size blocks have now got their Bitcoin Cash and they can focus on that.
Or just let it die.
It's doing so well at the minute, isn't it? Of course, so, you know.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's what makes me laugh when you've got the speaking to someone the other week and they're on the big block side still and on the Bitcoin Cash and all that side, and you know they're saying, "Oh, Lightning's not getting any adoption and it's useless and blah blah blah." And actually, Lightning's been around for, is it 3 years now? Bitcoin Cash has been around for 5 years now, is it? 4 years now. 4 years.
4 years.
And Lightning is being more widely used than Bitcoin Cash at the end of the day already. And Bitcoin Cash has got a year on it. So how someone can turn around and say, "Oh, Lightning's no use because it's not getting the adoption." Bitcoin Cash hasn't got the adoption. It's got an extra year.
Also now with the El Salvador stuff, it's just Lightning's at the forefront of that. And we saw BitRefill put out their data that they were getting over 10,000 Lightning transactions per day just from El Salvador.
Yeah,
it's insane.
So that's a real use case in a real country.
Yeah. I pushed that out as well. Ran the quick numbers on that, and it was saving 2 blocks a day. So there's 144 blocks a day in Bitcoin transactions that go onto the blockchain, and that them transactions would have taken space of about 2 full blocks. And obviously, because they're all on Lightning, it means there's no blocks needed or no block space required. Obviously, of course, to get the channels created and whatnot. But
yeah, technicalities.
Let's take them out of the equation because they'll be tiny.
Yeah, and you compare that to the total fees paid in those 2 blocks compared to those fees paid for the Lightning transactions. So
it's showing scale in
real world use case happening. So when people say Lightning is fake tech, is the one we got told.
Yeah, fake tech. Why is it fake tech? I don't know. But you couldn't tell us it's fake tech, but it's just fake tech. So okay, cheers. that's one country making payments to one company, and it saved 2 full blocks in a day. So that's scaling for you. Thank you.
Mic drop.
The romance of Bitcoin.
He was subtly plugging his own tweet there, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
That's what he does.
You have to, Dave. You have to.
Just comes on here and talks
about
his Twitter.
You did before about your renders, mate.
It's not about me. Next subject, Molly.
We're abusing Danny here. Let's carry
on. Okay, cool. I'll go next then. So I want to talk about the FCA research that came out not yesterday, day before, I think. Basically looking at the number of UK adults with crypto assets rises to 2.3 million. So that's up from 1.9 million in 2020. Some interesting points from the research is that over half of crypto holders said they had a positive experience and are likely to buy more, which is obviously great for us. And I just think it's actually quite nice to read these sort of stories and articles when you know how harsh the media can be about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. It's usually a negative spin. The overall sort of sentiment was that people are they are viewing it more as a mainstream investment rather than a gamble as well. So this whole public perception changing from this mindset that they've had, the majority of people have had over the years, of this, it's risky, it's gambly, now people come around to the fact that it's an actual mainstream investment, which is obviously great for us, great for the industry, adds credibility, and makes our life easier.
The BBC did put a bit of a negative spin on this. The
I did not pick the BBC article. I picked two.
The SCA were almost warning the because the amount of borrowing people were doing to buy crypto has risen. I think they say 14% of people surveyed had to borrow money to buy crypto, and which they always put that you could it could get a nil and people could lose everything. So that's what they were warning against. That really.
Yeah.
Anything could go to nil, though, and people lose everything, couldn't it, at the end of the day? So
it's just it's also a bit almost hypocritical that a government agency would warn against borrowing when they're 2.1 trillion in debt, which is over 100% of GDP, which will eventually cripple them if it goes too much higher. So they're warning about retail borrowing going up 14%. Well, of those surveys, 14% when they're in a position of massively borrowing themselves.
Hypocritical.
I think we do see a lot of people FOMO buying, or as what I call them, my new term for these people is half-pilled people. So people that buy.
Trying to make it happen, aren't you?
I'm making it happen. Half-pilled people who buy Bitcoin because of the price, but not the fundamentals, and they don't understand. They don't actually.
Well, the government and FCA should be looking at the why.
The why.
As to why that's risen.
Yeah.
Because people are having to make these choices as to whether to keep their money in fiat. Or keep their borrowing. Well, their borrowing would be up anyway. Credit card debt is through the roof in the UK. Although a bit was paid off during COVID because no one could go out, but it's still high. So people are either choosing to get credit card debt and have fiat debt, which obviously degrades highly, or use that and buy crypto, in which they can get themselves out of this borrowing cycle and maybe get themselves out of debt with it. So you know, it's a question of why. Why are people having to move from fiat into Bitcoin? And the government should be asking themselves that. And the answer will always be the fact that they're debasing their currency their so heavily.
So I think it's also worth noting they released saying the median average amount.
Yeah, has risen to £300.
£300
from £260. How they know that, I don't know.
It's just a sample of a survey, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So the sample survey was only 1,000 people, was it, or something? So it's not massive.
Yeah.
It's enough of a sample, though.
So is it? Is the question. Is it? That would be an interesting one. This is all surveys, isn't it, generally? They always base it off, 100 people or 1,000 people. It's never really enough.
Yeah.
We could base it off a much bigger sample and give our sample number and see how that matches. I'm pretty sure our median value would probably be around the same number, to be fair.
Yeah, with some of the crowds, I think 1,000 would be in line.
Yeah, I think the other week when we ran our numbers for the median price, I think it was around 300, so maybe 1,000's enough. Maybe we should run our numbers and see.
But I think Molly's right. I think it is very bullish that people are the drop in people now considering it a gamble. Is extremely bullish.
This across the board was it crypto or Bitcoin? It was crypto.
It is crypto asset. Yeah.
The BBC called it the so-called crypto asset, and then they peg in Bitcoin with that.
So there is a difference there. Obviously, all the shit coins is still speculation, in my opinion. Whereas Bitcoin is.
Yeah, I think one of the things as well. People do what they want, of course, but steering clear of trading because. What's our eToro stat from last year? 82% of people on eToro lose money.
Every time you look at that stat, it gets higher.
It gets higher.
When we first looked at that, I swear it was in the 70s.
Because their customer base is growing. There's more and more people from retail coming into it, and they don't know what they're doing, and they end up trading backwards and forwards, especially with the crypto side, and they're losing money. The people that are making the money are either people that kind of know what they're doing and play the opposite side of them, or they're
just have enough money to
to get lucky
to double down and get themselves back out of it.
But people that buy and hold for the longer term are the ones that we see that from our customer base. If you're buying in and out quickly in the short term, most people do lose money, but buying and holding over a longer term,
it's saving technology.
Yeah,
what's that book that we've read called by Jason.
Oh,
I don't want to say it's got swear
word. Don't want to say it's got swear word in it. How old are you?
You say it.
Hard
money you can't fuck with. Described as saving technology in there. And he raises a good point as to say why people can't save traditionally anymore. because any saving in their fiat currency just, like I say, inflation will just absolutely ruin it.
Inflation's what, 5%? It was 5% the other day in the US, what the number they put out over the last 12 months. Yeah. It's crept up to 6.1%.
That's still based on a CPI that doesn't include everything.
Yeah. It has, yeah.
So it's that's all relative to a CPI number. But if you look at house prices in the UK, went up 14% the other month.
10.8% in the last 12 months.
It's ridiculous.
UK so house prices, yeah.
People, their money's just not... The purchasing power is absolutely diminishing. So
yeah, purchasing power is going down, assets are going up.
Yeah, so Bitcoin, long-term saving technology.
What is it? Rich get richer, poor get poorer.
Yeah, which is why Bitcoin, I always
bring that up. People in the middle.
Bitcoin's there to fix it.
Yeah.
So you can keep an eye on this quite easily. There's a Gini scale. I think I mentioned it before on here. So it's a disparagement between rich and poor and countries. They're all scaled quite with a formula that's quite old and been tracked for quite a while. Then you can literally track it if those numbers get higher. Then
I think one of the best ones, if not liking the CPI one, the Big Mac index thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's an interesting one, and it's good because it shows the prices all around the world and the way they tie that in. That's clever.
So it's about how much a Big Mac costs in each country relative to, so like a couple of dollars in the US, and how much is it in there? And that you can, in Russia, say, and you can determine the strength of your currency based on, because it's an identical product that's in different countries.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Incredible way to watch, and obviously that. Do they tie that to inflation along the way as well, because of the price or the history of it as well, over them, the time periods? I think there's a way as well to tie it to CPI,
I'm sure, kind of thing.
What happens when McDonald's stops doing the Big Mac?
They'll never stop doing the Big Mac.
Yeah.
They'll lose me as a customer if they do.
I mean, what happens to the Big Mac index if they stop?
Stride across the road and do the Whopper.
If we had a Burger King here, Dave.
Well, that's the same as, I think, in that book they mentioned... a correspondent in Venezuela just goes and buys a coffee every morning to see what the price is.
Oh yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
Same kind of thing, isn't it?
Okay, I think we're all going to highly recommend that book.
Yeah.
If you've not read it yet,
I've just put a quote from it. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry,
you claim I haven't read it.
Have you finished it yet? Yeah.
No, I haven't.
It is. I mean, Jason Williams had a short period of being very annoying on Twitter, I think, as well.
He's
off the fence. He's
going to come after you now.
No, I like the guy.
He's coming swinging.
I like the guy, and I think he's fully aware he became across annoying. I think when it was more the picture of his cars all the time and stuff. But I like him, and the book.
You only like him because he's a Man U fan.
Yeah, I like him for that as well. But the book, I think, is it's very him, and it hits the nail on the head.
The audio book, though, the woman that does it.
Yeah,
she's a robot.
It is robotic.
I've gone physical. I can't.
Days.
It's a bit tinny, the noise as well, the sound, which is a bit weird. But it was very good, very to the point, very well explained, real world examples. It's probably for me the best Bitcoin book a newcomer could read, because it doesn't go into technical detail of stuff too much. It doesn't go into philosophy of things. It's just straight to the point with everything. And it should be easy to understand for me.
Can he use that quote as a 5-star review on the back?
Put it on his
best book a
newcomer could read.
You think it's the best Bitcoin book you've read?
Yeah, as an intro to Bitcoin, there's not a better one. And I've read quite a few now.
Yeah.
I was going to say loads, but I think it's about five.
One of them is that kids one with the A, B, C.
The colouring book for Bitcoin.
I still need to read the Bitcoin Standard. I still haven't read that.
See, I read that a few years back now, and so to me, this one by Jason is so much better. But maybe if I read the Bitcoin Standard back now, it might change my mind.
I think they're reprinting a new version or something.
Yeah, they're putting Sailor as the foreword, aren't they?
Yeah,
as well.
So I might grab that and read it.
But
finally,
I think if it didn't impress me a few years ago, then it probably wouldn't change now for me either, because. Again, as a newcomer, I think this book is the best.
That's what I'm always very wary of, because obviously we're not newcomers.
No.
So we think for a newcomer it'd be good.
Or maybe, yeah.
But would it? Well, we're all several years in.
Having read the
book. Why are we calling it a newcomer's book? We're all like there.
The best book ever.
Having read the other ones are particularly complex for me, for some of the terms and some of the things they use and the examples. Whereas this is to the point, real world, understandable, relatable examples, I think. He's done very well. Good.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it so far.
Good.
Cool. Danny. Hoffline.
Shit, yeah. 34 minutes Hoffline. In and we're only just starting Hoffline.
We've got loads to catch up on.
Keep it short.
Done. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, we'll keep Hoffline short, I guess. R&D projects a little bit from some of the team here. So, shall we start with what is Hoffline, I guess? Hoffline was an idea. Myself and Zach was trying to remember back to the exact day, weren't we, the other day? Mm. And it was coming.
We were moaning about something.
Not far off a year ago, maybe. Moaning. We were moaning. Yeah. Yeah, we were moaning about Coinbase. It was definitely Coinbase.
Matt
Coinbase.
Was making us coffee.
Yeah. Well, Matt wasn't even in yet. I think Matt was. Yeah. Matt was late that day, and then he came in making the coffee halfway through. Once we had the idea, yeah. And he interrupted us because it was too noisy. But we were sat down moaning about Coinbase because they'd added another shitcoin.
I can't remember what coin it was.
Yeah, they'd added it the night before and announced it. So we come in, we was like frustrated that, you know, we're trying to, we were just still introducing Lightning to our systems, weren't we, at that point, and looking into it. And we were frustrated that the likes of Coinbase weren't doing these things. So we thought, you know, why aren't they? We just got on rants between ourselves, didn't we? Like, why aren't they doing this? Why aren't they doing that? And why aren't they creating, like, you know, hot wallets are a major issue in the industry still. And historically have been, and why haven't they created something better for that? For all we know, in the background they could have created that and just not told anybody as well, of course. So I'm not
that's naive, giving them too much enough, credit,
but yeah, also so yeah, we kind of came up with that and was like, well, yeah, why can't we do that? And we started throwing ideas around, and we'd seen some of more of the hardware wallet-esque route with QR codes and things, and thought, you know, that's maybe an opportunity, air-gapped style, which is what we came up with in the end, which was an air-gapped hot wallet that works and coincides with a cold wallet. So the cold storage side of it never goes online, just communicates via camera QR codes to sign the transaction and display that back to the hot wallet, which would then distribute the transaction out to the network. So first of its kind,
we believe
it was the first of its kind. We've not seen another one that does this, and even after the tweet and the push we've pushed out there, nobody else seems to have seen one either. So I think we can comfortably say the first of its kind to publicly be made available or aware of. As I say, Coinbase could be doing this in the background and just not telling anybody about it. I doubt it, though.
No, they shout about everything. They would have told someone by now.
And I think one of the things as well is, okay, this at the minute is something we did a little bit of an R&D, as say me and Zach kind of bounced the idea off each other on a morning. We spent then, you know, best part of what, 3 to 6 months kind of bouncing it around, yeah, just trying to see if there's anything else out there similar, seeing what problems we'll come up against, how we can mitigate certain attacks. Kind of went around the houses with it. We didn't really get into the actual development and scoping it out properly until end of last year, was it? December, yeah, time?
Fairly recently, probably.
We sat down with a couple of our devs and went through some sort of basics with it and how we could, at that point, what hardware we could use and how we could do it. Originally, we should have got put out the original picture, something with like prototype one with the Lego.
Yeah.
We had it sat on Lego and built Lego around it to try and encase it. And oh, we forgot the wizard. Where's the wizard? We had a Lego wizard to, yeah, go with this as well, didn't we? That was sat in it. Sat on its little perch.
That was an ugly looking thing, that Lego. That whole Lego. Lego.
That was version
Lego
one.
Ain't great.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty bad.
Just be able to build things, but
yeah, we couldn't build that, so we had to 3D print. We'll come on to that in a minute, Dave, don't worry.
You're the best bit about that.
Okay. So we started scoping out the hardware, then we got onto the sort of design in terms of the wallet that was sitting on there. We needed a watch-only wallet on the hot wallet, and then we needed the keys, private keys, on the other side to be able to communicate. So we scoped out, great, all worked, theoretically everything worked. Then we got into development early this year, really, wasn't it, probably? Started playing around with it, got that developed. We actually did the first transaction in February, was it?
I can't remember.
It was February or March.
Sounds about
it was
right.
During our... Yeah. Was it during the first lockdown or second? Maybe the second lockdown here, wasn't it?
Is how we remember stuff, yeah, now, which lockdown it, yeah, was.
Because I was at home, I think, at the time. Mm. And then I think you and, was it Jack in the office, to, yeah, quickly, yeah, put this together, looking to press out, play. And then I was testing the transaction from home. And we put that through, so it probably was about March time, maybe. Mm. And that was the first transaction. And then it was a case of like trying to tie it into everything correctly and just having it so it can sit there and run. And eventually to announce it, which was just took us time. We've been trying to announce it probably for about the last month or two, haven't we, really? But one thing or another kept popping up, and then we was pretty much ready, but the conference in Miami popped up, and we thought, no, we'll wait till after that, because it'll just be so much noise from that, which there was, obviously, with El Salvador. slightly bigger announcement. El Salvador, I guess, wasn't it, to be fair? So, yeah.
Close.
Close. We'll give them that. But yeah, after the Lego, I'll come back to the 3D printing. Dave kindly got involved at that point and thought...
I just thought I'd step in. This project needs taking over.
Yeah. Needs help.
This needs improving.
This looks dreadful. This
Although
looks
Dave dreadful. Is the 3D printer guy in the office because he owns two.
Yeah.
I've had one
for like 5 years. Yeah. I'm an OG 3D
printer.
I've
recently bought one and I immediately outshone his.
Yeah, because you've got a better 3D printer.
Yeah. Which is so I made him very
destroyed
jealous.
Me.
Yeah. Well, Dave is the king of Blender. Yeah. The king of eyeing it as well. No,
we did not measure that.
Strict
did we?
Measurements. Actually, yeah, it was all eyeball and blender.
Yeah. Work first. We just made a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Just all right, get a room, guys. Jesus.
Two guys combined, same mindset, just making beauty.
So, for those that haven't seen the picture,
that sounds very weird out of context.
This is the guy that was warning about the romance of Bitcoin.
It's the romance.
So, for those that haven't seen it, so one half of the case is Bitcoin Orange, which is the hot device, and then the other half is our Coin Corner Blue, which is the cold device.
Ooh.
It looks very nice.
No, I've only just realised that. I didn't realise the hot wallet was.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why we did it.
Well, yeah, but no one actually explained that to me. Like, I didn't realise the orange side was hot and the blue side was cold. I just thought it was Bitcoin and Coin Corner.
We're probably looking at total print time of everything together, 40 hours.
Oof. It's a lot of plastic as well.
Yeah.
There was a couple of prints, wasn't there? One of them.
Yeah. The main base of each colour was like a 14, 15 hour print, and then the camera bits were like four hours each.
So I did very little in this project, really. I spent about 10 minutes
on Blender.
10 minutes on Blender. But I've got as much credit as some of the developers. Oh, well, I'll take it. In a nutshell, though, Danny, what would you say Hoffline provides if you were to sell it in a sentence?
In a sentence, wow.
Just so you can, you know, a little your tag.
It's an air gapped hot wallet that provides the security of a cold wallet in an automated air-gapped manner. That's a collection,
I feel like you're
collection of
words.
Yeah, I've thrown all sorts of that,
but we're getting there, aren't we?
We'll get there. I think just to clarify, it's an R&D project at the minute still that we're working through, and we're just, one of the big things for me, I'll come back to some points on that in a second, but one of the big things for me is what we were moaning at Coinbase for is because they're not doing these sort of things and trying these things and putting these things out there. You know, we've actually jumped in, done it with a small team. Obviously, we've got the expertise in the industry that we've had for however many years now, and we've got a team that can obviously create and do these things, which is what we've done there. But we're doing that, and then we've pushed this out there, seen the feedback. The feedback has been generally good. We've not really had anything negative. The only negative things are people saying, why not just use a cable that can plug into the other part, one part, and it's okay, of course you could just use a cable, but it's not air gapped at that point. Now, whether air gap is a gimmicky term, shall we call it, and whether it provides any additional security than just trying to lock down the sort of port channels that the USB connection would allow. Yes, it's slower. Yes, it's more difficult, should we say, as well, to create, but it does provide the air gapped piece where it's not connected to any online device or any device at all. Argument says it's connected because it's an automated manner, it's connected via cameras and screens, which I appreciate you can argue that, and this becomes an argument of
semantics.
What do you want to class as air gapped at that point? So we've seen all the hardware wallets start to move this route with AirGap QR codes. We have seen just yesterday, is it Novak? I don't actually...
Rodolfo
Novak. Him, who he created, one of the founders, is it, of ColdCard, or one of the developers there. So he has come out against the QR code route and AirGapping it that way, and he prefers, obviously, the ColdCards use the SD card. You plug the SD card in and do it manually from your computer back to your cold card device. So that's like air gapped in a manner, but it's still manual. So, that's not the problem we're trying to solve. We're trying to solve the automated piece for a hot wallet to allow the security of a cold storage device, but still being able to be automated in a usable manner from a hot wallet. That problem is the problem we've solved. We've taken the keys, private keys of a Bitcoin wallet, fully offline. Whether this continues to work in a commercial environment and whether it has other security issues around it, they're the pieces that we're going to play around with and see what happens and break what we can. There's not really been any critical feedback, has there, that we've had at the minute as to problems. There's a couple of people we've spoke to and they've provided problems about certain things, like, you know, what if you just display a fake transaction on the QR code from the hot wallet and the cold wallet will just sign it and send it out. Obviously we've got mitigations in place for that, and we do things where I did try and explain on Twitter, but it's probably easier to explain here. We have a, similar to the way you'd create API keys, or we're just creating a signature basically from a key, and that key is stored elsewhere, which is creates a signature. When the customer creates the transaction on the website, the signature is created, that gets passed along and eventually comes to the cold storage device, and the cold storage device can recreate that signature because it also has the key on that device, so it can effectively verify that the request came from the website and from the customer. And we also have other there's mitigations in place where if a transaction is over a certain threshold, then it can be manually signed off at some point by staff as well, so that also helps mitigate issues. But the general gist of it is still the point, they can try and display a fake transaction from the hot wallet on a QR code, but they can't steal the keys because the keys are still offline. So even if they compromise the hot wallet, all they'd be able to do is try and display fake QR codes effectively to the cold wallet to try and get it to send transactions, and it still wouldn't necessarily send them. There's lots of things we can put in place as well, isn't there?
We've thought of so many mitigations.
Which really tie it down. So it's an additional step forwards on current security practices, shall we say. And I know there's the BitGo use multi-sig for everything, and Curve and Fireblocks and things like that, they use MPC style methodology for things, which is an old cryptography method, and the MPC shards the private key effectively in some manner and really weird way and distributes it accordingly, which will then allow the private key to never be theoretically in one place at one time and so on and everything, which is complex but kind of does the job. It's still untested in our industry. It doesn't have audibility, which is one of the things BitGo, Monat, Fireblocks for, or the MPC methods, shall I say, not just Fireblocks. And it still isn't air-gapped and offline, effectively. All the machines are still connected online in some manner. So, you know, we're not trying to, I'm not saying we're trying to compete with them guys in any way, it's just a different method of doing it. And it's a crazy method, but, you know, we've seen Cloudflare doing the lava lamps to create random generated numbers. And things like that, you know, that's just as crazy as what we're doing here. So these crazy ideas hopefully inspire others to come up with other crazy ideas, and hopefully helps create, allows people to build on top of the idea we've created here. So it's not always just about creating that $1 million idea, it's trying to inspire others to go off and do them same things as well. So hopefully it does. There's my rant.
Wow.
Boom.
Yeah,
very good. Boom.
Boom.
Any other questions on Hotline, I guess, before we
disappear? No, thanks, Tony. We've had enough of that, haven't we?
They've nodded off though.
Yeah. A nice relaxing chat.
That's payback day for all your weeks of accountancy related topics.
But no, as Danny said, it's been a research project, which has been quite fun for us as well to, you know, play around with this kind of technology. And we don't encourage anyone to go out and use it commercially quite yet. Like you say, we're still working on things.
It's been great. I think with some of the feedback I've had from people as well have been like, you know, they've thought about that idea and they've just never been able to actually create it because they didn't have the expertise to and the reach, I guess. So, you know, we've been able to do that and create it, and it proves what we've done there. It works.
Yeah.
It takes private keys offline fully and allows us to run a hot wallet from that. It's ticked the boxes at the minute. Whether we continue to use that in a commercial environment is something we're yet to see. But it's a stepping stone, and it gives people more options to build on. And whether we open source everything as well, it depends on, I guess, how the community reacts and whether they find it useful and whether they want to get involved, whether it's an umbrella node level as well. I think that's a particularly interesting one I'm interested at maybe doing. I know we've already spoken, haven't we, about cutting down the hardware to trim it back so it's not quite as big and bulky and things, but that might be an option. And you can at the minute buy all the Raspberry Pi and the setup for an umbrella node, but actually there'll just be a couple of additional pieces of hardware to buy, and maybe you could wrap this up into a fully one-click install, and you can run your Umbrel node technically offline. And you can always set up your 2FA effectively on, so you could have Google Authenticator set up, and that's kept stored on your cold storage device on your Umbrel node, and then you've got 2FA on your phone, so when you can also access your Umbrel node remotely via Tor. When you come to make a transaction, you just put the 2FA code in to approve it effectively, and only your phone at that point would have that 2FA code alongside your cold storage device. So it also helps from, should we say, account takeover style attacks and things. So there's lots of things I think we can play around with going forward with that. It would be interesting, and I want more people to help and play around with it, I guess, get involved,
break stuff.
Yeah. Boom.
Wow.
Maybe that's our new see you later instead of I know Dave's a big fan of peace.
We'll
never get rid of peace.
You agreed to not say peace anyway.
Might add and love. Peace and love.
Peace and love. That's Lex Freeman's
is that what he says?
Yeah,
my man that blocks me as well. I don't
Danny's
like
him. Has he blocked you?
Has he blocked him?
The Danny's worst part,
don't worry, the amount of spam you pump out.
No, I've ranted Zach about this. I tweet, because he tweeted something, it was a Bitcoin related thing, and I replied to him and explained something, and then I put like, actually I just started listening to you and love your podcast, blah blah. He liked my tweet. 30 minutes later he's blocked me.
Power play.
Yeah. I was like,
tough love, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you like someone's tweet and then block them for that? I don't get that.
Maybe he liked it so that he could remember
it.
To block me later.
Sometimes I like tweets to remember to go back to them and reply. Yeah.
I wasn't trolling him or anything. It was a genuine response, and it was even kind words towards him.
Maybe he thought you were being sarcastic.
Maybe he did. But he was genuinely not sarcastic as well, and I just felt there was just, I appreciate blocking people for trolling you and that, but him blocking me for that was just ridiculous, and for me he lost my respect. So he's gone.
There you go.
Yeah, now I'm taking it personally.
Me block me?
Yeah. But it just showed everyone's been kicking off about
him. I'm the one who blocks.
Yeah. So I blocked him out of principle. No, I've not blocked him. And if you also unblocked me, I'd welcome him.
Lex, if you're listening.
I would welcome a conversation with him, just on Bitcoin in general, because he's a clever guy, you can tell, but he's just, there's no need to block in the way he has done. I think it's an aggressive manner from a guy that preaches the complete opposite.
Alright.
I'm not mad.
So we leave it there. Just turn his mic off. He's on one.
Zach can mute me 2 minutes ago.
Hang on. Lex, if you are listening, please don't block me by association.
Yeah. Please block Zach.
Yeah, I like him.
I
stopped following him. I thought he was a bit.
His podcast with Nick Carter, I think, is. I know he gets a lot of flack from the guests he has on, which, you know, I choose just not to listen to those ones. But his Nick Carter one, I think, was really good.
His Nick one was good, and the other one he did listen to
Breedlove was good as well.
I only listened to a little bit of that. There was another one as well that he did with another Bitcoiner. Who was that? And that was quite a Pomp.
Oh yeah, his Pomp one was good as well.
It was interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a shame he's a switched on guy, but is what it is, isn't it?
Can't get on with everyone, can you, Danny?
No, apparently not.
Or anyone.
No, apparently not, no. It's what it is. Right,
are we out of here?
I think
this is a long one.
Yeah.
A long one. Well, there's no stopping it.
So, thank you guys for listening, if you've listened this far.
Yeah, if you got this far.
Boom.
Boom.
Boom. Boom. Yeah, peace.
Peace.
What?